Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Unfortunately, if you're on the East Coast, in fact, a lot of the nation is getting hit with a terrible snowstorm. And the East Coast is getting, I wouldn't say hammered, but they're getting pounded pretty well. I think we got about close to eight inches, if I'm not mistaken. But it's something that we can't fight. That's Mother Nature. So sit back, relax with a cup of coffee, hot chocolate, or tea. And welcome you to the show. And you're listening to JT, a.k.a. The Master. And also I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker. Two Jersey guys slinging it. And we make up two-thirds of the FSP Cruise Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff and me. We also have a chat room open. That chat room is up there for your convenience. Whatever you like to put in there, lay it down, question, comment, make a statement. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. So it's there. If you want to use it, go right ahead or just listen in. Or if you are catching us in the archives, now we appreciate you at least listening to us after the show. That's always welcome, too. Well, without further ado, let me bring my esteemed co-host that we're going to be slinging it about the NFL all night for the next hour, Jeff the Joker. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry. How you doing tonight?
Wow. All I can say is, Jeff, it's been wild and woolly for the last week, and especially in the last few days. Now, I think I had talked about on Thursday last week that, or maybe I've been texting back and forth to whoever, that there are going to be a lot of surprise big names that are going to get me either released or cut. And I have a plethora of players, named players, that I'm looking at, and I want to go down that list about players who either got cut, released, or, well, quite naturally, you know that the last couple of days, players got traded. One not too popular player, not well known, but people know him, and two players that definitely in their respective cities they know, but whoever covers the NFL, they sure know. 2 years removed, we got a player that was the top running back in yards, and he gets traded away for a linebacker that's coming off an ACL. Now, he was a rookie last year, so really it's a second-year linebacker that's coming off an ACL injury, and he gets replayed. He gets traded to a team, and that team, in turn, trades away their best running back or one of their best playmakers on their team. A team that Jeff was 10-6 last year. Now, all I got to say about all these players is, they have. Jeff, why not start off with the biggest trade so far of the up-and-coming NFL New Year, which starts next week? LeSean McCoy traded to the Buffalo Bills for, get this, Kiko Alonso. This is going to be his second year, linebacker, who was in a running when he was a rookie for the Rookie of the Year, but he hurt his ACL, he tore his ACL, and now he's going to Philadelphia, and people are questioning, what the hell is Chip Kelly doing? Talk to me.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, I was shocked when I first heard of the McCoy trade. I think a lot of other people were. There were no rumors or anything. But, you know, when the smoke settled, it made a little more sense. I still don't get it, but it just goes to illustrate, and, you know, we've been saying this for a long time, in the NFL, the running backs aren't as valuable as they used to be. And Chip Kelly is a somewhat controversial figure. But, you know, he's done better than expected in the NFL. So, I mean, he does have Sproles, but, you know, he's as good as he is. He can't carry the full load. It makes you wonder what else he has up his sleeve. This is a very good draft for running backs, so there's a good chance they'll get one of those guys, or maybe they got an eye on a guy in free agency, and I'm sure the big thing is how he fits into that system. But, you know, it kind of Chip Kelly does, you know, so far he's been successful. I remember Dennis Green years ago when he was head coach in Minnesota. He kept winning with quarterbacks who weren't well-regarded. And I remember a couple of these guys, might have been Culpepper, you know, thinking to myself, oh, he's not going to win with that guy. And he kept winning. And after a while, I'm like, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. And who knows, at the end of the next year, I might be saying the same thing about Kelly.
He had Randall Cunningham, too, when he was at Minnesota. So.
Yeah, off the scrap heap, though. You know, I mean, that's where, you know, he had I think he won with Jeff George. I mean, he won with, Jim McMahon off the scrap heap. You know, he just, boom. Every couple of years he'd have a new guy, put him in, boom, and win.
Yep.
Kelly might be a similar type guy.
Speaking of the Minnesota Vikings, I still want to go back to the McCoy, but since you brought up the Minnesota Vikings, Matt Castle goes to the Bills for some draft picks. Matt Castle? The turnover waiting to happen with Matt Castle. I don't understand that move. Maybe we're going to try E.J. Manuel or give him some type of a competition. Or Matt Castle is going to be that guy or the guy. What's your thoughts on that before we get back to this LeSean McCoy and Kiko Alonso? Talk to me.
You know, it's kind of a small deal, but it makes you wonder, what do they like about this guy that they're willing to part with a draft pick? Because even a late draft pick is still pretty valuable, you know, and not get someone similar in the free agency. It makes you wonder what else they have in store. So, as the free agency plays out and the draft plays out, some of these moves will make more sense.
Getting back to LeSean McCoy and Kiko Alonso, quite naturally, when this trade came down, I got texts all over the place about it, and I'm in a group text. And the guys in that group text were going absolutely crazy. And I understandably so. But I also said, because a lot of these guys were NFC East fans, either the Cowboys or the Giants, or I think maybe a Redskin or two in there. A lot of them were calling Chip Kelly crazy, stupid. In fact, Black was one of them. And I kept on saying, don't underestimate Chip Kelly. It's quite natural. Everybody think he's going crazy. Last year, he got rid of DeSean Jackson. This year, he gets rid of LeSean McCoy and a plethora of other players in Kerry Williams, Trent Cole, and Todd Harriman. He retired after he cut him. So he's trying to free up a lot of cap space for God knows what's going on. I think he's got about almost $30 million in cap space now, probably like $28 million, somewhere around there. And you know, there is either he's going after a free agent running back, or he's going to look to the draft and try to pick up a young running back and use his cap money to work on a defensive side or something like that. I mean, Jeremy Maclin is one of the free agents out there who happens to play last year and had his best year at the Philadelphia Eagles. He may get signed, but that's still up in the air. You won't know that until possibly sometime next week. There's a possibility that he may come back, but Chip Kelly is a polarizing coach, because I've heard players or ex-players on both sides say on both sides of the opinion saying that they wouldn't play for Chip Kelly because they can't trust him. If you're a veteran and you have a high salary, watch out, because you may be the next victim. And the other one saying that Chip Kelly is an innovative coach. Everybody's been doubting him since he's been into the NFL, and all he's done is nothing but win. Now, he won. It was 10-6. The Eagles were 10-6, and they were all up and down on why he would trade DeSean Jackson. Now, DeSean Jackson had a decent season, not an outstanding season in Washington, but the record for Philly was the same with and without DeSean Jackson. So now they get rid of one of the best runners in the NFL. I saw a few things on the internet saying that there may be a dreaded three-headed monster in the running game, and that Chip Kelly has the mindset that he can plug anybody into his system, and that'll work effectively for him. What's your thoughts on that?
I find Kelly interesting. I do, and you know, the criticisms, you know, there's always going to be. As long as he keeps winning, though, you can't knock the guy. I mean, one of the many things is, you know, he's putting together an Oregon Ducks crew in Philly, and believe me, that kind of thing's been going on for a long time. I want to go back to when I was a kid. Dick Vermeil was coaching the Eagles. He had been a head coach at UCLA. I think he might have had 10 or more of his college players on his Eagles team. And, you know, it's not just that, you know, those are the coach's boys, but a lot of times they know the player, they know the product, they know what they're good at, what they're not good at. And usually they run similar type offenses or defenses, and it frequently works out well. And John McKay in Tampa did the same thing, USC coach, and, goes over to the Buccaneers and brought a lot of Trojans over there. And I actually like McCoy because I don't know, he's innovative, he wins. I mean, I don't like him if he's playing, you know, if they're playing well against the Giants. Whenever there's somebody, you know, who's perceived to be an outsider and, he didn't have NFL experience going in. And whenever a college coach comes in without NFL experience, everybody says they're going to fail. And everybody was saying why he was going to fail. And he didn't, you know. And he's one of these guys, I think, it's not about his way. It's about just doing what works. So he does what works, right. And it keeps working. So he keeps doing it, you know. And right. Those are the kind of people who get far in the coaching profession.
Okay. We have a caller, and I'm not exactly sure who this is, but I'm going to bring him on and see what happens. Caller from this is JT, a.k.a. the Master. Bring it on. Who's this, and what do you got to say?
Well, this is Naj down in Atlanta. I wanted to get in on the Chip Kelly conversation you guys were having.
Talk to me.
I guess the guy just before me hit on a few things with it, but the biggest thing with Chip Kelly that sticks out is his ego is just too big, man. Sometimes some guys think they're the smartest guy in every room, and Chip Kelly seems to suffer from that problem. You're setting up your system, you're basing your team on your system, and you're telling me that of all the coveted positions in the NFL, only Oregon Ducks seem to fit the bill of what you want? This seems in trouble because you got a guy building around his system, and if it comes to the point where he has to leave, it makes your rebuilding process longer because now you have to get regular NFL players in and get his system guys out. And for a guy to get all of this credibility with no playoff wins, one playoff appearance, is amazing to me. So the legend of Chip Kelly in his own mind, it looks like it's going to be a huge problem for the Eagles. This is 2 years in a row he's gotten rid of the best offensive player he's had, supposedly because of personal differences. And if people want to say salary cap, I can hear that argument. But the idea that your ego is so big that if somebody has a disagreement with you, they have to go, that's not football, man. Bill Parcells would cuss out Phil Simms or Lawrence Taylor. They'd cuss him out, and the next day they'd go to the meeting like nothing happened because that's part of football. Emotions rise, and some people you're just not going to get along with all the time. That's, you know, that's okay. But, yeah, this thing in Philly really stinks, and I think it's going to play out really badly for that franchise in the long run. But, yeah, I'm just amazed at how much credibility Chip Kelly seems to have gotten without accomplishing much in the NFL.
Well, he has, even though he doesn't have a playoff win, he has had two seasons that he's been in the league, 10 wins, 6 losses. And last year, without DeSean Jackson, he had 10 wins, 6 losses. So, even though he's got, and I know, I can tell that.
Yeah, but pull up his record versus 500 teams and above and versus below 500 teams. And you'll see that he's feasted on bad teams to run up that winning percentage, but it has not laid out anything as far as playoff wins or playoff appearances because he's only had the one. So, I just want to know where you get to set the table like this without accomplishing much. Rex Ryan has done more, to be honest.
Well, that's true, but now he's got more power than he had the first year and the second year. He was a coach. Now he's really calling the shots, and we'll wait and see. I understand, but just like Jeff and I are talking, we talked about there's people on both sides of the aisle that either are for or against Chip Kelly. I can see you're not a fan of Chip Kelly, which is fine. I understand that. I'm not a total fan. I'm just trying to be objective here. And notice that he's trying to get his guys in there to buy into what he wants to do totally. And he's going to sink or swim on whether he gets his guys in here and are successful or bomb out. And quite naturally, when any coach comes in, they try to bring their guys in there. And when you get rid of a coach, quite naturally, the next coach wants his guys in there, and it's like another rebuilding process. So I understand what you're saying, but we have to wait and see. He's got $28 million because all the guys he gotten rid of to make a move in free agency and also to be able to make a move in the draft if he wants to move up and get his boy from Oregon, Mariota. So,
yeah, that's even more problematic. Like, Mariota is a guy who's there in every draft. He's not a guy you trade the farm to move up to get. You know what I mean? That's not Andrew Luck. You don't move draft picks to go get Mariota. You can get a guy just like him next year, or even Hundley in the later rounds. So I'm just looking at this whole thing, and also understand this: during the next CBA negotiations, Chip Kelly's name is going to come up a lot because he was doing that whole blood testing, sleep timing, and all this other stuff that he feels is innovative, but may be violating the CBA. So we're going to see some interesting things with him in the next few years.
And when you say violating the CBA, how so?
Well, for one, they haven't agreed to blood testing. And for two, the idea that you're going to monitor someone 24/7 and the idea of how much sleep they're getting every day, that's not really something any group should agree with, any workforce should agree with. So this idea that he's involved in your life outside of football, to a certain degree, I can understand. You want to know what guys are going out at night and what guys are doing. I can understand that, but you kind of take people's word for that, or you investigate a little bit. But the idea that you're monitoring that by blood and using certain clocks and things like that to make sure they check in and they're getting X amount of sleep, that's going beyond what your job qualifies you for. You're a football coach. You're not a president.
That's true. All right, let's talk about, and I got a big list of guys that gotten to release, cut, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to go down the list, and it's a pretty extensive list. And get your guys' thoughts on if these guys are going to get picked up somewhere or this is the end of the road for some of these guys. I'll go five at a time. To make it easy, because it's quite a few guys. I got Lamar Woodley, Reggie Bush. We already talked about Trent Cole, Pierre Thomas, and Courtland Finnegan. Steph, give me your opinion on those first five guys, and if they have another landing spot, or what's your thoughts on their NFL future.
Well, Woodley getting cut by the Raiders, that's tough, you know, because a lot of times you get cut by the Raiders, you know, the other teams aren't interested. But I think a lot depends on these guys on what kind of deals they're willing to make. I mean, I know Reggie Bush wasn't great last year, but if he was willing to go somewhere on a modest contract, I can't imagine him being out of work too long. I think that's a big thing because, you know, some of these guys, if they've made a lot of money, they don't want to go for a veteran minimum salary. I don't know. I think all five of those guys might still be working. I mean, like Finnegan, corners are so hard to find. As long as he could still look good in a workout, it's hard to imagine him being out of work. But you never know. You never know. But all they need is one team to be interested.
About you, Nas?
Well, I think being released has a different stigma than it used to have. Like back in the day when you got released, it was because you probably weren't as good and maybe you were on the fringes. But now, just with the way contracts are structured, in a certain year in your deal, the cap number becomes too high, so they have to get rid of you. But, you know, other teams are going to be willing to sign all of the people you listed if they want to still play. So I don't think they'll have a problem getting a deal. It's just their original teams decided that cap number was too high for, you know, that particular player. So this is just the new NFL. So every year we're going to see this. Veteran guys who are really good are going to get cut because, hey, man, you might be good, but you ain't $10 million good. You know what I mean? Kind of that kind of thing.
All Right. All right, let me go to the next five. This first guy already been picked up or signed by the Niners. I'm talking about Darnell Dockett, Bernard Pollard, A.J. Hawk, Lance Moore, and Nas, since you're down in the ATL, Steven Jackson. Talk to me, Nas.
Steven Jackson had to go. It was a terrible 2 years in Atlanta. We tried to pick him up, you know what I mean, plug him in, and, you know, just didn't work out. He might be able to still get a job, though, because he's an adequate running back. He's just not what he was. So, I mean, he'll get a job, man, and I don't know. I can't be objective on Steven Jackson because down here in Atlanta, we ain't too happy about that guy.
Well, what about the other four, other three guys, really? Bernard Pollard, A.J. Hawk, or Lance Moore?
Yeah, all NFL players. All will be picked up. They just won't get big deals. Pollard, you have to sign because he's the Patriot killer. Am I correct? And A.J. Hawk, he's a decent inside linebacker. He got drafted too high, so the expectations were high. But he'll get picked up.
Okay. And here we go with another Eagle. How about you, Jeff? I'm sorry. How about you, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, I think Steven Jackson might be done. I hate to say it. I mean, in his prime with St. Louis, he was one of the best, but that was in football years a long time ago. I mean, Hawk, not a flashy guy, but you don't need a flashy guy on the inside of a 3-4. He could still play. He could still tackle. Moore, yeah, he was a good possession receiver. I don't think he's got that much mileage. Don't know about Pollard, but, you know, I think most of those guys continue, except for maybe Jackson.
All right. There's another Eagle that got released. Kerry Williams, Lamar Woodley, Ryan Hartline, who's, I think, talking to a few teams like the Texans, and I think he's talking to the Cleveland Browns. And Chris Canty and J.D. Walton, who started 16 games at center for the Giants in his only season with the Giants. I'm going to go with Jeff first. Those five guys, Kerry Williams, Lamar Woodley, Ryan Hartline, Chris Canty, J.D. Walton. Talk to me, Jeff.
You know, I was a little surprised that Walton got cut. I mean, he did start. I mean, he wasn't great. I think I heard Canty was going to get cut. That wasn't a surprise. I mean, everybody's talking about how bad the Giants' offensive line has been the past couple of years, and the mistake is people said they didn't address it in the draft. They did. You know, they did address it in the draft, but it hasn't worked out that well, unfortunately. I mean, you know, they used some pretty high picks on linemen, but it's not easy. Even Jerry Reese, he's had some excellent drafts, but even someone like him, not every pick is going to be great. Hartline, I remember I had him in one of my fantasy leagues last year. He kind of fell off the map in Miami, so him getting cut isn't a big shock. But, you know, he's an okay number three receiver, possession type. I don't know that much about Woodley. But, yeah, this is, you know, as Nod said, you know, this is the modern NFL. You know, this is the way it goes.
Nod, you got any comments?
Yeah, Hartline should take that deal in Cleveland. He will be loved in Cleveland if he's just a third down slot guy and make some catches there. That's where his career should go. He was really bad in Miami. They gave him that deal. They had one of the highest wide receiving paid corps in the league, and yep. They just got rid of everybody. And, you know, they might even be getting rid of Wallace soon. So he's out there. Woodley, I can understand the Raiders are going to try new things. They got all that cap room. So why not go after younger, better players? That makes sense. But Woodley will find a team. What were the other two?
Chris Canty and J.D. Walton and quite naturally, Kerry Williams. from Eagles.
Yeah, if Walton was good enough to start last year, even though they were kind of desperate, that means he's good enough to be a backup at worst. So he'll get a job. You know, no real worries there. He'll be okay.
All right. Let's move on. And I think a couple of these guys, at least one of them, may not be able to catch on a team. If he will, I don't think he's going to really do too much. Next five I'm going to talk about is Ted Ginn, Harry Douglas, Tyvon Branch, Kendall Langford, and Anthony Pisano, who's 30 and played last season for, if I'm not mistaken, the Chiefs. Talk to me, Jeff. Ed Ginn, Harry Douglas, Tyvon Branch, Kendall Langford, and Anthony Pisano.
The two players I'm most familiar with in that group, Ginn and Fasano, both started their careers with the Dolphins. Ginn is one of these guys. Dolphins drafted him way too soon. I mean, it doesn't matter now. I mean, it's three teams later. Because of that, he's perceived as a bust. If he was, you know, Joe Smith from North Dakota State, everyone would say, oh, he's a nice little player, you know. But he was, I think, a number 9 or number 10 pick. I mean, he's a good return man. He's never been a starting caliber wide receiver. But if he could still do returns and be a number 3 or number 4 wide receiver, he'll probably still have a job. I'd like to see Fasano end up with the Giants because he's from Verona, New Jersey. And, you know, he does a golf tournament, and he's very popular. He does a lot back home in North Jersey. In KC, they signed him to a pretty decent contract, and then he lost his starting job because of injury last year. And they weren't going to keep him around as a backup and pay him like a starter.
Right.
He'll probably at least get to training camp with somebody if he's healthy. And, yeah, I hope he does. I'd love to see him with the Giants. But, yeah, Giants don't bring in – he's not really a big name, but they don't bring in a lot of well-known free agents. I heard they're interested in Sue, but I just don't see him doing that. I don't. And as good as Sue is – that's a lot of money to put in one guy.
All right. Nas, any thoughts on those five guys?
Yeah, he laid down Ginn perfectly. That's what Ginn is. Fasano, even if these are his last days, he's going to make a few more years of checks just as a run-blocking tight end. He has right. that ability. So he's going to hang around no matter what, even if he's kind of lost a step. The other one, I kind of forgot, man. You're giving me too many at one time, man. I'm trying to catch up with you, man. I'm slow.
Okay.
Slow today.
Harry Douglas.
Oh, Harry Douglas. Thank you for bringing that up. Harry Douglas had one good game in Atlanta against Carolina, and he's lived off that since then. He's a decent slot receiver. He's fast. He has everything he's supposed to have, but he just doesn't make the catches when he's supposed to or the catches that people remember. But, I mean, he's going to get another job. But in Atlanta, I mean, his time was done. And, you know, funny thing is his brother, Tony Douglas, is in the NBA. So, shout out to their family, man. Keep getting them checks.
All right. Before we move on to the next five, what's your thoughts on – and this is one of my favorite positions, and definitely going to talk about with you because you're from Atlanta. Devontae Freeman, what's your thoughts on him?
I think Devontae's going to get the chance to start. There's talk of Jaquizz Rodgers being moved or cut and opening up everything for Devontae and getting some people to back him up. He showed a lot of good ability last year, and to be honest, Steven Jackson probably hurt him by taking some carries away from him, but I liked Freeman at FSU, and I'm really excited for him to be in the backfield. He's a good player.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on to five more players. We're going to do it like this. We got another Eagle that got cut. And you know what? I think he's retiring, so we're going to not even talk about him. We're going to go to the next five. Jacoby Gones, Peyton Hillis, Matthias Iwanuka, Greg Little, Barry Cofield. Talk to me, ATL.
Jacoby, I mean, he kind of falls into the realm of Ted Ginn, receiver slash returner, fast guy, gets hurt a lot. So, I mean, he's going to get a small deal. Peyton Hillis, he's a backup running back at this point in his career. He had that one good year of really flashing. But, I mean, he's an NFL player. He's not to the point to where you can't use him. I think he'll get a job in somebody's backfield. Kiwanuka, it's just about the dollar amount. He'll be on somebody's team just at a cheaper price. And as Cofield, hey, man, everybody needs big guys on the D-line. So I think he'll be in the league too, but I mean that's a fringe guy though, you know.
Well, what about this other guy, Greg Little? You think he's fringe too? Or
oh man, Greg Little was horrible. But, Greg Little was horrible, but that's my personal opinion. But I think in those workouts, somebody's gonna like how fast he runs and bring him on the team, and then they're gonna be shocked when he doesn't catch the ball.
Jeff, your thoughts?
I mean, Najee is pretty much on the money. I think it hurts Peyton Hillis. I think his last two seasons ended with concussions. I like him a lot. He's a football player, and I mean that as a compliment. He's versatile. I mean, he plays fullback, halfback, excellent blocker, could catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he thought his career was over before the Giants signed him a couple of years ago, and he seemed real happy to still be playing football. And but unfortunately, two seasons in a row ending with concussions, and they might not have been his first concussions. But yeah, he had that. He's a little more than this in his career, but a one-year wonder. He had that one huge year in Cleveland. And it's almost like they got a curse up there. And, yeah, it's sad about Kiwanuka. I mean, you know, it's a business. But he was one of the last three guys from the first Giant Super Bowl team under Coughlin. And he hasn't been a star, but he's been productive at times. And they've used him at a defensive end and sometimes at linebacker. I think he'll probably stick around. Greg Little, I don't know. You know, like a lot of guys, he came into the league with some hype. And Cofield, I think, will stick around.
All right.
Yeah, and can I just add, who would have thought coming out of Arkansas that Peyton Hillis would have a better career than Darren McFadden?
Yeah, how about that, right? Hey, you never know. You never know.
Excuse me.
Don't believe the hype.
They had an incredible backfield. Who was the guy? Felix
Jones.
Jones
that went to the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yep. And, I mean, his career fizzled out, but he had a nice start to his career. But that was a heck of a backfield. And that was one of the reasons Hillis played some tight end in college, just, you know, some of his versatility. Yeah, heck of a backfield, you know, those few years in Arkansas.
All right, the last spot. Nas is familiar with this guy. Justin Blaylock, Stephen Brown, Brandon Gibson, and Chris Myers. And I'm not even going to go with Joe Mays. But Justin Blaylock, I know you're familiar with him. Talk to me there, Nas.
Yeah, I think people thought really highly of him the first couple of years. But as the film has kind of caught up, he's really not grading out to what people thought he was. We drafted him high out of Texas, I think it was. And, I mean, he's an okay guard. He'll get a job, but he's nothing special. As you see, Atlanta still reshuffling that O-line. The other ones you named, this is when it starts to get to the fringes, and you're talking about guys who can be beat out by free agents. So, they really got to go hard to secure a job.
Jeff, what are your thoughts?
You know, not much. That's with all due respect, this is kind of the bottom of the list.
Yep. All right, one guy I didn't talk about yet. I'm going to talk about him now from the world champions. They're stalwart for, what, over roughly 11 years, one of the, I would say, faces of the franchise, very dependable. And I'm surprised, and I am, and I'm not, since Wolfer got released by the Patriots. Now, this is Bill Belichick. And Nas, I don't know how much of a fan you are of Bill Belichick, but he is pretty cold-blooded in cutting players, too. And this is one of his guys, and he just cut him. Played well this year, one of his better years. I'm talking about Vince Wolfer, but he still cut him. And I think it's a salary cap thing, and or maybe he thinks this guy is his better days are behind him. Talk to me, Nas.
Yeah, I mean, his better days are behind him, but he's a fringe Hall of Famer, possibly, when we really go through the tape and look at who he was. But I don't think he's done. I think he'll come back to New England on a discount, or somebody else is going to pick him up because he could still play. But, yeah, man, Vincent Wilfork, one of the great players out of the U, man. Shout out to him, man. I'm a big fan of Wilfork. But you know how this game goes, man. You only keep so much money at certain positions as they age. So it's about that time.
Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was the other big story. I mean, Big Vince, the man in the middle. But it's a business. Nobody gets to play forever or stay with the same team forever. I mean, hopefully, you know, he wasn't lied to and he didn't have to hear it through the grapevine. I mean, Wilfork is very popular in the community up there, close with the owner, and I heard he's tight with Brady, which usually offensive players tend to be friends with other offensive guys in defense, but frequently the stars tend to be friends with other stars. And, you know, he and Brady are good buddies. Like, they hang out in the off season and everything. But, you know, it's a job. And, of course, you know, he's coming off a good year. And, of course, he's a 3-4 defensive tackle, no doubt about that. And that's so there's a lot of 3-4 teams in the NFL that don't have the proper personnel. And you get a guy like Wilfork clogging up the middle, and those inside linebackers can make a lot of tackles. And there's talk the Jets, of course, are interested. But, yeah, you know, Jerry, your experience with the Jets. Anytime a Patriots cut, the Jets are going to look at them at least, and vice versa. But now they got Pepper Johnson is now coaching the defensive line for the Jets, and he had been coaching a long time up in New England, and that might help get Vince down to the Jets. Even though the Jets' defensive line looked pretty good last year, I think that's the issue. They need corners. They need receivers. Their front seven on defense is pretty decent. And also, Texans got Romeo Crennel. Boy, that guy's been around a while. And he also has experience coaching Vince, so maybe he'll go down to Texas. And they got a need for a nose tackle up in Green Bay. They don't bring in a lot of big-name free agents, but they have on occasion, and they they're a well-run organization. I mean, they did pretty well with Peppers. I don't know if they could fit him, but they might be interested in Wilfork.
All right. We have somebody sitting on the line. I know who he is, but I want to take a break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about two, in my opinion, surefire Hall of Famers that are still on the team, but they're on the fringe or either getting cut, traded, or released. We'll be right back with a break. Be right back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports,
prep you for your upcoming fantasy games and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP Show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/DICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
We are back. This is the FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 if you want to join the conversation. And like those two commercials were, the FSP Show is 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Saturday, and the Master Plan is 10 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday, Eastern Standard Time. We are talking about the NFL players that have gotten cut, released, and also some of them that have gotten traded. I have Jeff on the line, have Nas on the line. I'm going to bring the two other callers that I have sitting up on the line, too, to join in the conversation. And they may have an opinion about the two players I'm going to name. And these two guys I'm going to name are going to be, in my opinion, surefire Hall of Famers that are going to say bye-bye to their respective teams. Let's bring in these two guys, and let's go from there. On the line, we have Victor Gardner. What's up there, Vic? How you doing?
I'm living, Jerry, and you?
Not too bad. And we also have my esteemed co-host on the Master Plan on Sunday, 10 a.m., Lance, the NFL Exporter. What's up, my man?
What's going on, Jerry, Victor, everybody? Happy to be on the show. Another great show. Been listening since I got off work at 5 o'clock. I'm sitting in this L.A. traffic here. So just been kind of listening in, to you guys chop it up on all the great and relevant topics going on.
Well, Lance, since we have you on here, earlier in the day, you gave us some exciting news. And why don't you relay that news? And this is going to be an ongoing advertisement leading up to when you actually go on the air. Talk to me.
Yeah, definitely. You know, great moment for the Extra Point and all of us here on the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network. Yesterday, just basically finished up a deal I've been working on for quite some time. And so this upcoming football season, the Extra Point is going to be broadcasting live from Dave and Buster's, the Westchester LAX location. Location's only about a year old. I was there yesterday, had a chance to, you know, meet with the guys over there, and they're very excited. So certainly, you know, that should be a very good look for all of us here on the FSP, as well as all of our growing fans and audience and listeners out there. To be able to bring that live element to Monday nights on the Extra Point, which we all know, you know, a lot of fantasy owners out there either need some extra points or need their opposition not to get some extra points to win their ball game. So certainly should be even that much more exciting. We're definitely looking to bring the ultimate fantasy football experience to our fan base out there. So Certainly was a great accomplishment that, you know, for all of us here on the FSP show, station, excuse me.
Yes. Well, congrats to you again, Lance. And quite naturally, we're going to be talking this up leading up into the time when you first take the airways, Dave and Buster's. I don't know what date is set, but when you take that date, we'll be listening and hopefully we'll call in and break the show in right. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lance.
No, I just said definitely.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about these two guys. Now, I saved these. I wouldn't say saved the best for last, but these two guys, in my opinion, are definitely Hall of Famers. I'm talking about Troy Polamalu, and on the opposite side, on the offensive side, he happens to be on the team that I'm a fan of, talking about Andre Johnson, who from the Texans, the coach said that he wanted him to take a reduced role. Now, he's only 34, if I'm not mistaken, and to me, he's still got quite a bit left, and he's got he's one of the faces of the franchise in the Texans, and he wants him to take a reduced role. I mean, that had to be a slap in the face. And before we get to Troy Polamalu, let's talk about Andre Johnson. I'm going to go to my esteemed co-host Jeff first, and then we'll work it down the line. Nas, Victor, and then Lance.
Wow, we got a full house tonight. We got five gentlemen. That's cool.
Yes, we do.
Hi, Vic. Hi, Lance. Nice to have you. Andre 2000. Yeah. It's a shame they weren't a playoff team his best years. I don't know if teams want to trade for him because they might be more interested in signing him for less money as a free agent, but. I think he'll stick around, but he unfortunately has dealt with injury concerns the past few years.
About you, Nas?
Well, I'll go ahead and say I think Andre is a Hall of Famer, great player, but he had a situation with them last year where he was thinking about getting out of the door. They were clearly rebuilding. They don't have a quarterback, so yeah, he's a great player and somebody should. You know, go ahead and pull that on him and get him. I think he'll be gotten for a third or fourth rounder. I don't think it'll be anything ridiculous because he's obviously on the decline. But Andre Johnson's a great productive player to add to your team right now. And honestly, I don't know if Hobson's ready to take over as the number one. So the Texans might be they might be going a little too far with this.
I gotta agree with. I didn't catch your name, so I don't want to say it wrong.
Nas.
Miles?
Nas.
Okay. Nas. Okay, Nas. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
Naj, N-A-J. There we go.
Oh, Naj. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm about to say Nas like Ethan. But anyway, the thing is this is Jerry's team, and Jerry's going to be crying the blues for a while, mainly because I don't think the Texans already did anything for Andre Johnson because of his advanced age as well as the salary he's due. I think they're going to have no choice but to cut him outright, and then he's probably going to go to a team that can afford him and possibly a contender. Actually, somebody brought something up as far as having him going to the Cowboys. They just gave Cole Beasley $13 million over 4 years, which is pretty much nothing. They franchised this 13 in 1 year. They can afford to take on Andre's salary because they're letting DeMarco Murray play around in the field. They're in the market for a back. They're probably going to draft one of the first round. So I don't like the Cowboys, but I can see that happening. I can also see Andre Johnson going to a team that's a up-and-coming game, such as the Buffalo Bills. Listen, I know Watkins, and they got a young nucleus there, and they're not sure who's the quarterback. They got Matt Castle, not smart in my opinion, but he's a game manager. They have Shady. All Castle has to do is get the ball to Andre on short passes and Watkins on deep passes. I see that as a landing spot. Maybe even San Diego. But the guy's from Florida. He's from Florida. He's very quiet. And you might see him in Miami, especially since they let go of Brian Hartline and they're talking about getting rid of Wallace. They're going to need a star wide receiver. So with that being said, there are many, many options in there that we can talk about, but I don't think they're going to trade him and give me value for him. That's my one contention. But sorry, Jerry, we're going to cry on your Fruit Loops.
Lance.
Yeah, as far as Andre Johnson goes, he's still a very good player. You know, I'm looking at the situation at this point in his career, and for the Texans to say they want him to be in a reduced role, huge question marks for me because they don't have any other wide receivers besides DeAndre Hopkins, at least anybody proven. I don't even recall, and Jerry can attest to this, I don't watch the Texans on a weekly basis, but I don't even know who their third and fourth wide receivers were. I didn't even recall seeing these guys catch any passes. The tight end position is a position that they need to focus on. So for them to say they want him to be in a reduced role certainly has me scratching my head because they don't have any other – you know, he's the only other guy they have in the pass game besides DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't understand why you would want to have him in a reduced role. And from what I've seen last year, he's certainly, like many players, the product of the system. I don't care how good you are as a wide receiver, if you don't have a quarterback who can get you the football, you know, you're kind of useless, so you can only be so good. So we know that was the case with Houston last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and, you know, I guess Ryan Mallett was only there for a moment. But when Case Keenum was in there, Andre Johnson didn't have a problem getting the football. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say. But he's on the tail end of his career, I think, for him. I mean, at least – from what I've seen in sports, once players kind of get to where Andre Johnson's age and this far in his career, it's about having a shot at the championship. And so for him, I don't know if taking a little less money to get on a team that has a chance to actually make a deep playoff run, I would think that would be his primary concern. Houston certainly has a chance next year. The AFC is a pretty wide open field besides the obvious kind of top two contenders. But the Houston Texans, I believe, like the Buffalo Bills, if they had a better quarterback, those teams both could have been in playoffs. Both of those teams missed the playoffs by one game. So, you know, Andre, to me, is like a lot of players in the league. You know, Frank Gore and some of these other guys. So, yeah, sure, they're a tad bit older. They don't have the same foot speed and maybe explosion. But something that's different in football, and I guess it's maybe a little bit more physical of a game. But and I guess maybe not true because in basketball, when guys get older, it's kind of like, okay, I may not have the same physical attributes, but mentally, you know, I'm well ahead of the game and I'm able to kind of outsmart my opponents. Something I guess you see what Big Manning does, you know, figuring out the defense. So even though the arm strength might not be the same, the foot speed, he's able to use his mental knowledge to stay ahead of the curve. So I still think Andre Johnson's a good player. If he does stay with Houston, I have no idea why they would want him in a reduced role. If he goes on to play with another team, then, you know, the statistics may not be on his side to, I guess, earn the same type of money he has. But he still should be able to make good enough money. And, again, I would think he would be looking to join a team where he at least has a chance to have a shot at a deep playoff run and potentially a Super Bowl before he hangs it up.
Can I jump in real quick, Jerry, before you go to the next thing?
Sure.
One team I forgot, and they are in desperate need of leadership at the position, and that would be Seattle. I mean, that would be perfect for him. They would pound the ball. He could become the veteran, established leader of what is a fledgling group, in my opinion. And if Randall Cobb goes there too, that puts Curse and Baldwin and Lockett on notice, plus that young kid Matthews. I think that would be a good landing spot for him. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. Well, I want to talk about the other guys I brought up. The Pittsburgh Steelers are looking for Troy Polamalu to call it a day and retire versus them, I guess, going through a PR move and releasing him. What's your thoughts on Troy Polamalu? I think he stayed around a couple of years too long, but that's my opinion. And I'm going to Lance. I'm going to reverse order now. I'm going to Lance, Victor, Taj, and then Jeff. Talk to him.
Yeah, for Troy Polamalu, certainly. You know, he has the credentials of a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any question when he was in the prime of his career. Definitely, I think at that time, along with Ed Reed, no question, the best safety in the NFL for whatever, you know, kind of like a five-year window or what may have you. But I think it's proven at this point in his career, he's injury prone. That's the first thing. You know, he's not. I think his track record is proven. And he had a real reckless, abandoned style when he played, which we all love. But I think it added up on him over the years, and he's just a guy who's injury prone. So, you know, that's kind of first and foremost. And he's not the same player. I think he's one of the guys that is more obvious to see. He's not what he used to be in regards to his speed, his athleticism. He's another guy who, you know, was a film room guy. So his anticipation and being in the right spots and all those things, you know, the athleticism is what really allowed him to capitalize on how smart and intelligent of a player he is. But it's obvious to tell. If you look at maybe the last 3 years, you can see each year him declining, just missing open field tackles, not being able to stick to guys like he needs to in coverage, blowing assignments, and he's just slower, and he's injured a lot. So, you know, kind of a little bit different than Andre Johnson, who certainly has had some type of a little bit of an injury history as well, but not as much as Polamalu. I mean, it's almost a given that you know that he's not going to make it through an entire season. So I think it's time for him to move on. You know, looking at the Steelers roster, their secondary and their defense is in the process of being revamped. You know, for so long, while Dick LeBeau was out there, we got used to seeing, you know, that vaunted defense, you know, James Harrison and Larry Foote. And, I mean, it's all the linebackers, you know, from really, you know, the late 90s up until maybe the last few years. All those guys for Pittsburgh's defense is gone. You know, Casey Hampton and Lamar Woodley and, you know, I mean, just all the guys who really made that defense tick. So, you know, I think it's time for some fresh blood. You know, they got Timmons in there. Shazier was a nice pickup last year. But they're in the process of revamping their defense. So if he's not going to be on the football field, and even when he is, he's missing tackles and missing assignments, and, you know, he just doesn't have the same foot speed and athleticism, you know, I think it's time to move on. You know, I honestly think for Troy Polamalu, it's time to move on. And I think retirement is the right thing. I don't know how many teams are going to be interested in him due to, you know, again, the fact that he's very injury-prone and the player that he once was. It's very, very obvious and clear to see that he's not that player anymore. So I definitely enjoyed his glory years. But at this point in his career, again, to me, it is very obvious and plain as day to see that he's just not, especially playing that safety position, he's just not cut out for it anymore.
What about you?
I got to disagree with you, Lance. I think there's a market for him, so therefore he should not retire. If there wasn't a market for a safety in this current, you know, upcoming season, I would say, yes, go ahead and retire. But I can see squarely where he would belong. Again, let's look at a place of need, and I'm talking about Atlanta. They need a strong safety. They need safeties, period, in Atlanta. So you take the fact that the defensive coordinator from Seattle, who has Cam Chancellor, who had Earl Thomas back there as intimidators and hitters, Chancellor can't cover anybody, but Chancellor can hit people. So you put Polamalu in that same system and let him intimidate the tight end and others back there, I think he can play at least one or two more years. Other than that, I'm not sure if he belongs in the NFL, but I think that would be a great landing space for him. I'm done.
Okay. It's just a coincidence. The next person we're going to talk about Polamalu going to ATL, is Naj, who is from the ATL. What's your thoughts on that, Naj?
Look, I don't want him down here. honestly, at this point in his career, no matter what, he's a Hall of Famer, all-time great. But like the gentleman said before, he can't run the same. He can't do all those, you know, crazy athletic plays he used to make back in the day. So it comes down to this. If he wants one or two more years in the NFL, he has to become a basic safety, meaning film study, always get, you know, really deep in coverage and kind of play things as they are in front of him. But I feel like as a hitter, he won't be able to stay healthy. So, I mean, if he wants to, you know, cash a few more checks, I think he can make a team as a, you know, traditional safety that doesn't do all of that stuff that he used to do as far as going off script and making plays on his own. But, man, that's hard to, you know, get out of yourself, man, to become just a disciplined guy who just is based off the system. So I don't know if he can make that turn. But, I mean, if he retires, man, I'll be happy for him because I like to see guys retire and we not see them in another uniform, you know, being less of what they used to be. But shout out to the great Troy Polamalu.
What about you there, Jeff?
You know, I just thought of a good compliment for Polamalu. He and Ed Reed, they weren't just great players. They were influential players because I think those two safeties in particular, I think, made that position more of a priority in NFL teams, and it shows a little in the draft. They take safeties a little higher, and now they're going to pay a little more money to safeties because for a while it seemed all they cared about was corners and safeties were just leftover guys. But those two really showed that a talented safety can make a lot of big plays on a defense and win games.
All right, I've got two more players that I want to talk about. One hanging it up, and one that looks like he's going to be playing this year in another uniform. Talking about MJD. Excuse me, hanging it up, and going to retire. And also the Bears, because of supposedly locker room and salary are shopping Brandon Marshall. He's only 30 years old, and it doesn't seem like he's lost a step or any ability, but they're shopping him. Give me your thoughts, Jeff, on those two players, ex-player in MJD and Brandon Marshall, about to find a new home somewhere.
It was. You know, MJD was terrific with the Jaguars. And, I mean, I'm not surprised he retired because he said he thought about retiring last year. He got to play one more year back home in Oakland. You know, he had a great run in Jacksonville. And Brandon Marshall, it's funny. Supposedly on the Bears, they're not thrilled with some of his off-the-field activities, which his life has changed a lot. But they don't like the fact that he's doing inside the NFL, he's flying to New York during the week to shoot that show and that type of thing. And it's a business. That's the a lot of it has to do, I think, that they're going to need money to sign Alshon Jeffrey, and Cutler's making a lot of money, and it's a cap situation.
Nice.
With B. Marshall, the guy's changed his life. He showed what he is. And this might be the Bears kind of lowering expectations for the next few years and what they are. They might be going through a semi-rebuild. But Brandon Marshall's a great receiver, and somebody should take him on because he can still play. Now, you got to have a strong coach in front office who can deal with somebody who might make a statement that you don't like. So you can't have that, you know, that pettiness to you if you're a coach or a GM dealing with a guy like that. But Brandon Marshall's a good player, man. I think a lot of teams will line up to get him if he's out there. What's my man's name in Tampa who he got paid, that quarterback? Brandon Marshall can still play. So this is crazy if they get rid of him.
I agree. And he saw the writing on the wall because – like you said, Josh McCown went to Tampa Bay. Now Josh McCown has signed in Cleveland. I'm not saying that. I'm just not saying he needs to go to Cleveland, but I'm saying he might want to go to Cleveland if they can trade him there, because he can make Josh McCown look better. They need a number one wide receiver. Their backfield is rather young. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, but Manziel is not the answer. Brandon Marshall, I think he's already started to make that transition into the broadcaster area. He's pretty good inside the NFL. He really is. I'm not sure if he's made to be, you know, an analyst outside of this, but I know he does a lot with his charitable organization. And that, you know, that might take up a lot of time. He just had twins, so hopefully, you know, that's a sign of him maturing, and he'll start to behave better if there are off-field activities or antics that Chicago's worried about. You know, it is what it is, but the man still can play. He can still go get the ball. He can still make people miss. But, you know, it's time to pass the torch in Chicago, that is. So, I agree.
Lance, what's your thoughts on MJD hanging his cleats up?
Yeah, for Maurice Jones-Drew, he's done. Plain and simple, he's done. You know, that's one thing that when it comes to professional sports, man, these windows, they open and close. They open and close very quickly. And the end of his career was the year that he held out in Jacksonville. That was it. You know, he's never been the same player. Like Jeff alluded to, he had a great career. He had a great – the year prior to that, he was one of the top 5 to 7 running backs in the NFL. He was the only thing that Jacksonville had going for them. You know, he got into that contract dispute and sat out. And when he came back, he wasn't the same. And, you know, guys, they just get unmotivated. They get out of shape. Injuries start mounting on. Went on to Oakland last year. Coming into the season, he was supposed to be the starting running back. And lo and behold, by the time week 1 came around, he wasn't out there, and I don't even know if he carried the ball 20 times all year. To me, that's work ethic. You can't beat out Darren McFadden. You know, we know Latavius Murray came on later in the year, but he couldn't even beat out Darren McFadden. So he's done. You know, you have that stuff. It's been basically about 3 years since Maurice Jones-Drew has been productive. You're not going to have many suitors. And speed and stuff like that was never his calling card. He was always a tough guy, again, knowing his holes, knowing can run inside and outside, and just a tough guy. So, but he's done. His career, he's done. So I don't expect to see him on a roster unless the team is just in dire straits. As far as Brandon Marshall concerned, general consensus, we all know that he can still play at a high level. I think it's just getting him in the right situation and – I think trying to figure out what the right situation is for him can be very difficult to do. Yes, he has a strong personality. Yes, he's outspoken. But at the end of the day, he wants to win games. And that's when we've seen things unravel last year, was how bad the Bears were. Now, obviously, you don't want somebody to divide or tear your locker room apart. But he was stepping up and being a leader. Because certainly, there, if you look at that Bears team last year, there's nobody on that team who had going to put their foot in anybody's behind and motivate anybody. And it's really not Matt Forte's personality. Sean Jeffrey's still a young guy. That defense was horrible, so he needed to speak up and try to light a fire under these guys and get them motivated. And when it didn't happen, he got frustrated. He wants to win. He's a very talented player. And losing week after week, it takes its toll. It mounts up on you. So I think, you know, I need to look a little bit more into the collective bargaining agreement that the NFL players signed a couple years ago, which even at the time that it happened, everybody kind of knew it was the wrong decision to make. These owners had a ton of leverage, knowing that these guys, they don't want to not be on that football field. But I say I need to look into that because – when I look at what's happening to these players now, number one, you know, when we're all kind of in the same age bracket. So when we were coming up, You didn't, you know, guys, your star players, your best players, you weren't trading these guys with 3 years left on their contract. You weren't trying to get rid of them, and you certainly weren't blackballing them and doing things on purpose to hurt their statistics to the point that when they go to try to get their next deal, they can't even do that. Because at that point, the owners, they don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. They're saying, look at the production. And when I look at what happened to Julius Thomas last year, aside from the injuries, when I look at Shady McCoy getting robbed of all those goal line touchdown opportunities, you know, we look at guys, Andre Johnson, his production not the same. You look at Brandon Marshall, so he's still a very good player. You know, I think if he gets on the right team, he could be a big-time addition to really help push the team over the top. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. But the main thing in Chicago is they're not going anywhere anytime fast because of how horrible their defense is. So, you know, I think maybe they're in a little better of a situation to make some cap room because it doesn't matter who's on that offense this year unless that defense is fixed and they've got pretty much holes at every single position. They're gonna be another team that's hovering around 500 or less. So, you know, I think they have a little bit more room to move on from him, but he's still a very good player, and I think it'll be really interesting to see where he pops up. Like I said, if he gets in the right situation, you know, maybe he can tandem up with another team that has a solidified number one or a very good number two. He can certainly still do a lot of damage. He's definitely still a guy that can catch 80-plus passes, 1,000-plus yards, 10-plus TDs. So, you know, I think the right situation for him, you know, it has to happen.
All right, guys. Well, a week from today, we'll be 2 days into free agency. So likely where Dominic Sue will be, where Randall Cobb may land, where DeMarco Murray may land, Julius Thomas, just like Lance just talked about. And those are some of the notable free agents that some team is going to benefit from. And quite naturally, the player is going to benefit from because of free agency. So we'll be able to talk about that next Thursday. And then anyone else that may be moving around, like Jeremy Maclin. And this is just a lot of free agents out there, and I named just a few of the names. So I'm going to go down the line, and I want you guys to give me your closing thoughts before we end this week's show. I'm going to my co-host on Sunday first, then Victor, then Naj, and then my co-host tonight and always every week, Jeff. Let's go, guys. Give me your closing thoughts,
folks, so we can get the hell out of here. Yeah, my closing thoughts, you know, I wasn't in for the Shady McCoy, Alonzo. I know that was big news, but, you know, certainly I just think that we've seen that last year. You know, these coaches and these organizations have ulterior motives. Shady McCoy at 26 years old, still one of the top five running backs in the NFL. Trading a guy of his caliber, unheard of. I think he still has 2 to 3 years left on his deal. He was probably fifth or sixth rushing the football. Again, 11 other touchdown runs were by Sproles and Polk. So if you tack on another four for Shady, which would have gave him 10, I don't think you would have heard much complaint. But it's just insane. You know, like I said, I got to check that collective bargain agreement. You know, I don't know what type of leverage these players got, but it's too many good players on the move. You know, you can't even stick with your team. I mean, come on, Dallas. You got the leading rusher in the NFL, DeMarco Murray, and they can't even sign him. So I got to look in to see what these players got themselves into. It's too much movement. I don't know if that's what the NFL wanted. Maybe the players wanted that, but I think it's too much movement. And then last, for me, I don't know if this was talked about today or not, probably not, but I think we all knew that Peyton Manning was coming back. I think he took a $4 million pay cut. No big deal. He's making whatever, big-time money. I think the issue with Peyton Manning, why there was, he had to take time to think it all is, does he want to go through another year of the damage potentially that could be done to his reputation, his legacy, if he's not winning, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl? Because let's face it, that's the whole issue with Peyton Manning. If he comes back, Peyton to win it. So anything that he does is not going to be good enough. If they don't win a Super Bowl, he's opening himself up to another, you know, just blitz by them, pounding him for what he doesn't do. So I think it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see when he comes back this year, is he really going to lay it on the line and really try to lead this team? Because I will say this about the Tom Brady and then I'll end my little piece. But if you notice in the Baltimore game, that New England was down in the playoffs, down 14 twice, and even in the Super Bowl, we all know Seattle should have won that game. But Tom Brady is the type of guy that took the team on his shoulders. It wasn't handing the ball off or just team effort. He put the ball in his hands and said, we're going to win or lose with me throwing the football. And I know that that attitude was due to him losing the last two Super Bowls, feeling like, you know, maybe this thing slipped away. So it'll be interesting to see if Peyton Manning is going to have that same killer instinct and come out this year and really just, you know, go all out and have that historic type of season. Or is he older? We know that Kubiak's there now, have philosophy changed, and, you know, will we see a different Peyton Manning?
All right, Victor. Nick?
All right, my closing remarks are, I want to thank Lance for all the hard work he put into the presentation to get down there and sit in front of the regional manager and all of that to get the extra points live at the Dave and Buster. So good work on him. Also want to say my guys, JT and Jeff, you know, I really, 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 really appreciate you guys keeping the brand alive because, as you know how my job is, I don't have all the time in the world and everything, but we draw listeners in, we draw callers in, we draw a lot of attention. So thank you very much. To Naj, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Hopefully you become a regular and you bring more people. We have four different shows. You're listening to one of them right now, Fantasy Sports and Politics, every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then you turn around on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's Mr. FSP with JTATM Money doing Fantasy Sports and Politics at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know what? On Sundays, you have JT along with Lance sometimes during the Master Plan, where they normally break down the, your NFL fantasy information. But during the off season, Jerry does a lot more than just fantasy. You need to win. And then during the football season on Monday nights, we've got the extra point with Lance, the NFL Explorer Goodman. Sometimes I come in there and help out. He doesn't need it, but he does what he does. But four programs, five great guys. Get your information in when you can. That's all I got, JT. I'm out.
All right, Nas. What's your
answer? Yeah, man. Thanks for the good words, man. I'll definitely check out some of the other shows on y'all network. Thanks for y'all letting me on. And I guess my major point would be going piggybacking on what the other gentleman said. The CBA has to be looked at, but at a certain point, the NFL players are going to have to get courageous enough, like the MLB players are, and say, yes, we're willing to sit out if we don't get terms that are at least kind of indicative of what we are right now, which is the number one sport in North America. And the players not only deserve a nice chunk of that change, you know, drawn from it, they also need to negotiate certain things, and we shouldn't be seeing what we're seeing right now. Because right now we got a thing to where they're paying young guys, older guys are all expendable, and they're basically signing deals that really have no value after the first or second year. So I want to see if players are going to be tough enough to actually stare these owners down and sit out a year if necessary, even though I love football.
Jeff?
Wow. This has been a great show. A lot of football, and that's my favorite sport. I'm going to change the channel a little. Sadly, earlier this week, Anthony Mason, retired NBA player, most notably with the Knicks, passed away at age 48. And he only played 5 years with the Knicks, but I can't think of a guy more popular in only 5 years. He was from Queens.
Left his mark.
What's that?
He left his mark.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just, you know, he was a regular at the Garden. His son a few years ago was playing there when his son was with St. John's. Real shame. Heck of a ball player, blue collar guy, good guy, very well liked. And I'll tell you, it seems maybe some of these NBA players and retired NBA players with the health problems, maybe you know, these guys suffer from health problems too, maybe from taking too many inflammatories or I don't know. But yeah, very sad that Mason passed away.
All right. My closing remarks is this, and I'm going along the lines of two guys talked about the CBA. The NFL Players Association executive director or president election is coming. Five candidates, I think including DeMar Smith. So maybe with a new president, there may be a new direction and more of a hard line with the players. Once, if DeMar Smith doesn't retain his position and a new one gets in there, that they may take a better look at the CBA and try to clean up some things that are more beneficial to the players. We'll just have to wait and see after the election if it's DeMar Smith who continues or if it's a new one that it's going to change the direction. Well, thank you guys for joining me. I want to thank my esteemed co-host for hanging out here with the other guys, especially Lance and Naj and Victor. Tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we throw it down again on the FSP Cruise Show. And we're out of here. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.